Thank you for joining us for this podcast of Calvary Lutheran Church Worship for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, July 19th, 2020. We are grateful that you have chosen to join us for this service today. We have prayer requests that we would like to pass on to you that you would have the opportunity to include in your own personal prayer time. First of all, Ken and Marcella Nelson report that Ken's niece, Melissa, together with husband Eric and their three children who live in Minnesota, all tested positive for the coronavirus in this past week. Melissa is the one feeling the most severe of the symptoms. The others are much more mild, but we ask prayers on behalf of Melissa and Eric Hoag and their family. Kyle Jones reports to us that his cousin's daughter, Serafina Rose, newborn, came into this world in a most difficult fashion and was deprived of oxygen for a considerable period of time. Her name is Serafina Rose, and she is the daughter of Julie and Tony. We ask that you keep Serafina Rose in your prayers. The most recent report we have is that after a period of time on oxygen, this child is now breathing on her own. So we rejoice with God in that, but ask that you continue to remember that family in your prayers. Members of our congregation who report to us, requests for prayers include Bev Lawson, who fell this past week at her home and after short hospitalization has now been transferred to the congregational home. And we ask for prayers for healing for her as she recovers from the injury sustained in her fall. Judy Grospitz reports that she had also needed medical attention a few weeks ago, and prayers are requested on Judy's behalf. And we also received word this past week that the Bishop Emeritus of the North American Lutheran Church, Pastor John Badowski, suffered a fall a few weeks ago, a considerable distance of a fall, but thankfully his injuries were not more severe than they were, but he did suffer head and neck injuries and as recovering in his home. We ask that you remember John Badowski in your prayers. Our mission of the month continues to support the Hope Street Ministry. Many of you heard the presentation by its director, Ashley Thomas, last week. We are going to continue to receive your offerings for that through the end of July. We ask that you prayerfully consider a generous gift of this new mission of the month of ours, Hope Street Ministry. And finally, our worship director, our music director, I should say, Nicole Moritz, has produced a short survey as she enters into her work here at Calvary, soliciting your input as to preferences in music, particularly during our worship services, favorite hymns, the type of music that you prefer, and so forth. It's a five-question survey. It's going out with this week's Calvary Connections, so please take an opportunity to complete that and return it to the office at your earliest convenience. Nicole would very much appreciate that. We begin now our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We now take a few moments for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of mercy, when this world seems overrun by the evil that surrounds us, remind us that your Son, Jesus, has conquered evil and death and triumphed over all. Help us to confront the evil that can reside within us and turn it over to your transformative grace and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 44. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people, and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 119, verses 57 through 64, responsively. You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words.
I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise.
I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes.
I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands.
Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law.
At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws.
I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts.
The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 8. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation awaits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then Jesus gave this explanation to the parable, saying, "The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hi friends, this is Miss Angie, and I have spent all week working on our Rocky Railroad VBS, so I thought today we could talk about trains. I'm always amazed to see just how long they can be. You know, the longest train ever stretched almost 5 miles. It had 8 engines and pulled over 700 cars. Now that's a big train. I'm sure many of you have been stopped by the trains in Brookfield when you're trying to go somewhere. The thing is, that has always fascinated me about watching those really long trains is how, sooner or later, all of the cars are following the same path as the first engine as it pulls them down the tracks. It's kind of like follow the leader. If the front engine turns in one direction or another, all the rest of the cars will turn in just the same spot. In the Bible, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also." That's kind of like a train too, isn't it? Jesus is telling us that the way to lead lives that will be pleasing to God is to follow his example. We can't follow Jesus the same way the train cars do, can we? Because he's not here for us to watch him and see him every day and copy what he does. But we can still follow his example by leading our lives in the way that follows the examples he set for us in the Bible, by caring for others who need us, by being kind and generous, and showing our love and sharing with others. When we do all of these things, we're letting Jesus be our leader, just like those big locomotives that pull the train down the tracks. Now it's time to do a Pray After Angie prayer. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. We know you are an awesome engine. Please help us to stay on track and follow your lead. In your name, we pray and play. Amen. Have an awesome week.
Our Lord Jesus, in our lesson today from Matthew, offers some words on what we might call theological agronomy, the thorny, or more precisely, weedy problem of evil asserting place where we suppose it does not belong in God's good creation. By referencing the origin and ways of weeds, Jesus is referring to evil's allies in the public square, as well as within us, and counsels his followers on what to do with those noxious folks in our midst, people who seem content to thumb their noses at God's good intention for creation, real humans, not theoretical ones, who, as British theologian N.T. Wright has written, have given their lives and energies to inventing and developing wickedness, profiting from it, luring others into it, and wreaking large-scale human devastation as a result. As some of you may recall from my message last time, I said that stories, particularly humorous ones, if they need to be explained, have already lost their effect. I suggested the same is true for parables. But then again, Jesus decided to give an explanation in a parable anyway. I'm going to largely avoid an explanation of or for evil in my message today. The parable of the wheat and the weeds, as this story is called, is paired with a lesson from Romans 8, verses 18 to 27. And that's a good thing, because the parable our Lord tells in Matthew 13 cannot really be understood apart from the Apostle Paul's contention that nothing happens in this world that surprises our Lord. Rather, this veil of tears, which creation is sometimes referred as, is in the midst of, Paul says, a thorough reclamation begun with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He writes, "I consider the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subjected to futility or frustration, not by its own choice, but by the one who subjected it, in hope." Paul knew a thing or two about weeds. He watched it multiply 30, 60, or 100 times in all the places he visited, local culture, common human immorality, corrupt government enraged, offended leaders of other religions. He saw it all. All poked their weedy heads out wherever Paul preached. Paul knows that weeds do well, sometimes even better, in the very conditions that give growth to goodness and charity, humility and kindness. He knows, as we do, that God has in his wisdom seen fit to allow both to emerge, to compete, as it were, for the soil. But Paul knows, as our Lord most assuredly does, that there will be a reckoning one day, and that reckoning will be the revealing of the sons, or children, of God. Sad to say, but Christians are not called to grow up in clean fields, planted, watered, tended, trimmed, in nice plots of land like the ones lying resplendent under a summer sun in so many Brookfield, Elm Grove, and Wauwatosa summer days, lush, undisturbed greenness as far as the eye can see. God knows, rather, indeed has willed, that we grow amidst competition, sometimes fierce, And that keeps us going. And what keeps us going is the promise of Matthew 13. The landowner knows what's out there in his land. He knows the children of God from the children of this world. And he'll tend to each according to his word at the proper time. What Paul says in Romans 8:18 through 20 amounts to an explanation of Jesus' explanation of the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Paul's words help us understand why our Lord would say something so audacious as that in his creation, evil will have a field day too. If, Paul says, a child is a child of the light, a child of God, then they are only so because of their faith in the one who planted faith in them. And then their, or our, hanging on to the soil in which we're planted, come weeds or high water. Hope, which is patient, is what the parable of the wheat and the weeds is about. Neither it nor its explanation offer a reason, much less guidance on what to do about evil, or how long we'll have to wait it out. But it does tell us that hope grows amidst contradiction, even despair, over the way things are, instead of how they were intended to be. Paul and Jesus clearly know that weeds can be prolific, but that does not stop them from also saying that the children of God are growing too. Evil competes hard for space and time in this world. It crowds in on us, stands right up, and all but convinces us that the sun no longer sees us and the water of life can't reach us. It forgets, or cares not to confront the inconvenient truth, that children of the light grow best when they grow among competition. The children have Christ, and Christ knows a thing or two about competition. As John 1:5 and then again 1:9 says, the evil one has never figured out how to combat light when that light comes from within a person. It can't smother what it can't see. God put it there for a reason. That evil can't touch it. Nothing about this story our Lord told suggests, however, that sin be ignored. If anything, it is a reminder of how close it is to us, how intertwined it is with and in us. But the manner of our confrontation is not to personally weed it out, but by grace, outproduce it. Personally, we struggle against sin every day. Its claim for the space in us called our hearts is voracious. Jesus says we must confront it with patience and not get hasty and harsh and try to root it out ourselves lest we get carried away. The Christian church has an unfortunate history with this. It's been sorely tempted over time to do that very thing, and some of its forays into spiritual agronomy have not been pretty. The Crusades, the Inquisitions, the Creedal Wars in 16th and 17th century Europe, that still leave a sour taste about the church in people's mouths on that continent. Closer to our own lives, it's astounding the agronomy we entertain, how therapists and self-help experts, occasionally masquerading as preachers, keep churning out books and podcasts that are all but certain to resemble a better gardening list of bad traits we need to weed out and the good ones we need to plant from some obscure passage they come across from 1 Chronicles or the Book of Esther. Yet Christians load them on their Kindles as fast as they come out. Lost in weeds we need to root out is, in many instances, I'm afraid, the very thing we need more than anything, Christ, who, if the parable of the wheat and the weeds says anything, is the very life you are rooted in. You, dear Christian, were what he would not dare harm, no matter what happens in this world, because you were prepared to shine like the sun in the kingdom of his Father and yours. Our parable is about a gracious God who wouldn't do anything to harm his children. He knows what is his and what isn't, and he'll preserve you even if it means he'll let the children of the world have their way and wreak no small amount of havoc in the process. Sure, there is a certain amount of exertion in being a Christian. A little groaning, evidently, is not such a bad thing. Paul says that is precisely what the Spirit of your forgiver and Lord Jesus is doing this very moment on your behalf. Your Lord knows that this life is not a garden party. Jesus is never testy with us, but then again, he does test us with this story. Alert, reasonable people as we assume, even pride ourselves to be, we probably would say we wouldn't do things this way. We're weeders by nature. That is, until the tugging we're prone to do on all the sin out there creates this nagging feeling that someone is tugging at something right here inside of us. The Spirit does indeed have a way of helping us out in our weaknesses. So when today, for genuine reasons, you long for God to act, to put the world right, remind yourselves from within yourselves and your own self-examined heart that God has already done so through the resurrection of Jesus. The sin in us and the wrong all around us knows it's had its day, and it's over. Confessed sin will only see the grace of God. Unconfessed, it will see the judgment of God. But you, dear confessors, you wait upon that day full of grace, not like people wondering if anyone will ever bring to this world a small light, but as people who know the sun is already up, and we're simply waiting for the brightness of midday to shine. And shine it will. Amen.
Savior, say, thy strength in need is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt this heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who
Let us profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended into hell.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Dear Lord, there are weeds in our lives, but they are not the measure of the harvest that you value in us. Give us courage to step out in faith to meet you, and confidence to follow where you lead. Enrich us with every blessing of your Spirit, that we may be good soil, forever faithful and fruitful for you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, great physician and healer, in whom there is eternal life, hold in your hands and pour out your healing power upon those who are sick, maimed, suffering, dying, or in harm's way. We pray especially for Melissa, Eric, Alex, Lauren, and Eddie Hoag, for Bishop Emeritus John Brodowski, Judy Grospitz, Beverly Lawson, Julie and Tony Maniscalco and their daughter, Serafina Rose, those on our prayer list, and for all others not mentioned here. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, our Savior, in good times and bad, we pray that you help us find common ground with our brothers and sisters in the world to solve the problems of terrorism, war, racism, tribalism, hunger, poverty, and sickness. May we learn to be a people of laughter and joy, of justice and reconciliation, of peace and unity, of compassion, caring, and sharing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, God of mercy, protect us from the COVID-19 virus by helping our health providers and scientists find treatments and cures for this disease, and us by helping to prevent the spread of the disease. Please help us restore our communities, workplaces, and families from the disruption of the pandemic that has affected the whole world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, bless the NALC and those serving in the mission field who spread the gospel of Christ Jesus throughout the world. We pray that our Calvary Lutheran Church congregation, our pastors, staff, and leadership continue to grow and walk with you with a Christ-like devotional life that is steadfast, and that we exhibit this in all our dealings with others. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Chancel the Mongol.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.